God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 29th day of May, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. Today's sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, God's Prescription for Joyful Living, Psalm 119. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Amen.
God and God alone created all these things we call our own. From the mighty to the small, the glory of them all is God's and God's alone. God and God alone reveals the truth of all we call unknown. And all the best and worst of man won't change the master plan. It's God's and God's alone. God and God alone. It's fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives deserve its truest praise, for God and God alone. God and God alone will be the joy of our eternal home. He will be our one desire, our hearts will never tire of God and God alone. God and God alone, it's fit to take the universe's throne. Let everything that lives serve its truest praise, for God and God alone. Let everything that lives reserve its truest praise, for God and God alone.
Jose. Well, why don't we stand, turn to Psalms 119. Be a different page in your book than mine, probably. Psalms 119. Amen. We've been doing a series on the Word of God. We want to continue that this morning and tonight. Last week, of course, we looked at, all throughout the day, some preservation, and then we looked at why we use King James Version and went into some issues on that. You can listen to that on the web if you want some more information along that line. Today, some of the, I guess, practical side of the Word of God, Psalms 119, beautiful chapter, 176 verses, adorning the Word of God. The psalmist writes from his heart about how important the Word of God is to him. Obviously, we cannot cover that in one service, and so it won't take place today. It's a little long and a little detailed, but I so appreciate the psalmist sitting down and writing about his heart and love for the Word of God. And honestly, I hope that if it's not your heart, it will become your heart. That we would learn to love the Word of God and how precious it is. And so we want to read just a portion of it today. We'll begin in verse 1. And it says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Lord, we come to you now. Again, we thank you for your blessed word. May we truly, Lord, have a heart to learn it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's interesting. The psalmist starts out with blessed are the undefiled in the way. That word blessed means happy. I would have to say, as we stop to think for just a minute, that everyone wants to be happy. If you're honest, everyone wants to be happy. I don't run into a lot of people that say, no, preacher, I would rather be miserable. I like misery. Now, I know some of you look that way. I understand that. Some of you act that way, like you'd rather be miserable. But deep down in everybody's heart, you want to be happy. A lot of the decisions, our whole theme this year is choose you this day whom you will serve. What you choose, honestly, is about happiness. I mean, the decisions you make each week. Will you go get that cup of coffee that will make you happy? Will you not? It's a choice. You know, why do you do it? Well, to be happy. Will you go see this person or not? Why do you do it or not? Well, to make you happy. Will you watch this? Will you go here? Will you, whatever you do, deep down, part of the reason, if not a lot of the reason we do what we do, is we want happiness. People want to be happy. What do we say about our kids? Well, I just want our kids not only to have more than we had, but I want them to grow up to be happy. That's what parents say. I just want them to be happy. So it's our goal, it's their goal. It's a life pursuit, to tell you the truth. It is what people want, is to enjoy life. Interesting enough, in 2000, there were 50 books, it is said, written about the topic of happiness. 50. In 2008, 4,000 books. 4,000 books. There's a myriad of places you can go to find out about happiness. Now that we have the internet, the web, you can get on there and find research. I found one from Harvard University. They took, 268 male students, and they began to follow them. They decided to do an extensive study, though. They did it for 72 years. So it wasn't a short term. They decided to make it a long-term project. They had one director for about 42 years and another director after that headed up the process. And they got these men to basically volunteer to allow their life to be studied, questionnaires to be sent out to answer. When they were all said and done after 72 years of study, they boiled it down to this. The only true way for happiness, according to the study, was the relationships you had on earth. Now, most of us would probably agree with that. We'd say, preacher, I agree. And I do. Relationships are important. Definitely more important than money. More important than things. No debate about that. More important than any experiences we have are relationships. But I got to tell you, as important as that is, I got to remind you that's a secular study. Okay? And I do believe relationships have a big impact on our life. I don't debate that. I believe they help us in our life. But I found something that's greater than that. I found something that is guaranteed to produce happiness. Because let's just be honest. Don't relationships change? So even in your pursuit of relationships, which you should, and we're not discouraging that, you know we believe in relationships, but the fact of the matter is people change. I mean, people are up and down. You can have a good relationship for 20 years, and I mean in a short period of time, everything change. Everything be turned upside down. How often have we seen that? And so as you give your life to those relationships that can change, you can find happiness there. I'm not discouraging that, but I'm a guy that likes something a little more solid, okay? I'll be honest. As I'm pursuing relationships more than anything else, there's something even above that. You say, what's that? Can I just help you? It's the Word of God. You say, what do you mean? The psalmist begins to give us a hint about all 176 verses right at the beginning. He said, blessed. The interpretation there is, happy is the man. And he goes on to explain in the rest of the chapter, honestly, to explain his love for the Word of God. And even in the times when he was lonely, when he was fleeing, when he was by himself, he was still a happy individual without the relationships nearby him. Why? Because he had a relationship with the Word of God. And his greatest strength, his greatest happiness came from something that never, ever changes. So once again, I'm not discouraging relationships, don't get me wrong. But I'm saying if you really want to be happy, can I help you? Learn the book. Learn the book. Blessed, happy is the man who what? As we're going to find out, knows this book. So this morning I want to talk about this blessed book God's given us. We've defended it for 2 or 3 weeks, told you about inspiration, preservation, why we believe what we believe. And now we want to get into practical side. And I want to challenge you to love the book. Can we do that this morning? I want to challenge you to love the book, and here's why. If you do, and if you follow it, I'm going to tell you something. You will be happy. You say, well, preacher, I'm a Christian, and I'm not happy today. You're exposing yourself. You say, what do you mean? Well, you're exposing yourself, and once again, don't take this wrong. We all have unhappy days. Okay, welcome to life, amen. If you tell me, preacher, I'm never unhappy, I'm saying, you're weird and you're a liar. Or that, you're on drugs, something's going on. But even after the drugs wear off, you're unhappy. I mean, it doesn't work that way. You say, preacher, are you ever unhappy? Sure. I'm human like everyone else. I know I'm gregarious and I'm outgoing, but sure, I have unhappy moments in my life. Sure, there's times. I mean, the other day, Oklahoma City lost. That was an unhappy day. You know, it dissipated. I'll be okay next year, but sure, there's unhappy days. There's things that happen. The car blows up. Bad things happen. Sure. I don't go, yes. Oh, yes. More money in the car. Praise God. No, I go, really? This isn't exciting. Sometimes Brenda and I don't get along. She's having problems. It's her fault. We're not getting along. Things like that happen. You know what I'm saying? And that's not happy if we're not getting along. I don't smile throughout the day going, this is great. We're arguing. Yeah. Well, no. So don't take the message wrong. We're not talking about this superficial, fake, you know, happiness. But let's just be honest. We probably ought to change the word from happy to joy. See, happiness deals with happenings. And the fact of the matter is, happenings change. You can be happy today, sad tomorrow. Especially when you guys see the honey-do list because she knows you're off tomorrow. Okay, change is happiness. But joy, which is really what the psalmist is talking about. When he's talking about this blessedness or happiness, he's talking about an inward joy that is continual, even in the midst of difficult times. His strength of that joy does not come in relationships, because this changes. It comes in something very solid that you can pick up at any time, and you can have in your heart, in your mind, and you can have with you all the time, and you can actually say, no matter what I'm going through, I am a blessed man. I am a joyful man or woman. Why? Because of God. That's what we're talking about. And I'm telling you, nobody should be as joyful in life than born-again believers. Come on, we got more than anybody else. Watch your mind. I know you're thinking right now, comparing among themselves are not wise. Preacher, we live in a dilapidated house. My car barely runs. How are you saying we have more? Excuse me? You're saved. Wait. Your sins are forgiven. You have a mansion in heaven. Who cares about the home here? I got one up there that will wipe out anybody who's down here. I've got the Spirit of God, the power of God, the Word of God, the love of God. I got my sins forgiven. Man, I mean, everything in my account wiped away. I may owe creditors here, but I don't owe up there, praise God. When this life is over, I'm like, how can you not be joyful for that? Sure, we go through rough times. Who doesn't? But as a believer, I've got hope that no one else has. I've got joy that no one else has. I've got the Word of God. I've got the King of Kings. So let me tell you, yes, I believe we should be more joyful than anybody else. It bothers me when the lost world seems happier than born-again believers. I'll just be honest with you. It bothers me. You say, why? You said we have bad days. Yes, but some of you have bad days all the time. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to help you with this. You're going to have bad days, but if that's your norm, something's wrong. Something's wrong. What's wrong? So glad you asked. Let's look. Blessed. Take a look at the Word of God. We'll begin in verse 1 as the psalmist does. How do we find this joy that the psalmist had even in the midst of hard times? Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. He begins this way. He says, you want to be blessed? You want to have joy? You want to make it work that way? He said, blessed are the undefiled. That word undefiled literally means entire or complete. Entire or complete. Some people have interpreted it various ways, but the context really is, blessed is a man who is entire or complete. Well, in what? He explains. He says, blessed are the undefiled, complete in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. You know what real joy comes from? Can I tell you? First off, he says this. You want someone who's joyful. It's someone who is entirely, completely on board, connected to what? The law of the Lord. In other words, the word of God. Can I put it another way? If you talk about blessed is he that's undefiled in the way, I began to say, well, what's the way? Isaiah says there's a way of holiness. Yeah, that's a good verse, Isaiah 35:8. But I went a little bit farther, John 14:6, probably more familiar to you. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You want to know what the way is? If you put it in context, he says, blessed are the undefiled, the complete, in the way. What way? Well, in the way of God. In the way of Jesus Christ. What are you trying to say, preacher? Well, I'm just going to say it point blank. If you're not completely committed to Jesus Christ, you're not going to be joyful. As simple as it gets, in terminology that you and I would understand, I am convinced there's a lot of miserable Christians today because we have partial Christianity. You say, what do you mean? We have Christianity that we kind of compartmentalize. You say, what's this? We are so good as Americans at separating each part of our life, and we think that's good, and it's not. Can I help you? Christianity is and always has been and always should be a lifestyle. In other words, it affects me not just at church. It affects me Monday morning at work. It affects me Tuesday at work. It affects me Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It affects me at home. It affects me everywhere I go. It is who I am. I am totally bought into Christianity. But if you're not totally bought in, you're a Sunday morning Christian, or you just whenever you can fit it in, or you're just kind of partial, I'm going to tell you, you are one most miserable individual. You say, why? Well, because you've got, we call it the straddlers. You got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and you're trying to balance that. And I'm telling you, you might do real good for a while, but you're not going to be able to continually do that. Matter of fact, my experience of watching people live that way is they're more miserable than anyone else. You remember Revelations where Jesus said, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm? You remember that analogy, that symbolism? You know what he's basically saying? And really, even for happiness, don't take this wrong, I'm not encouraging you to get out of the house of God, okay? Because you're going to end up in total misery. But I will be honest with this. What I am encouraging, if you try to play both, you will not find joy. You will not find real happiness. You can't. The psalmist said, you know what I figured out? When I'm completely bought in to the way. What way? The way of God, the Christian life. To what? How do you get involved in the way? He said it, the law of the Lord. When I completely buy into this book and decide it will guide my life, there's something you get automatically. It's called blessedness. You want to see blessed people? I'm going to give you a secret. It's not because they were born in the right family. I've seen people born in good families, and I'll be honest with you, they are miserable. Why? Well, because they're not following the word of God. I've seen people born in rotten families, and they're blessed. Why? They're following the word of God. I've seen people make horrible choices, bad choices in their life, and they're miserable. Why? They're not following the word of God. I've seen people repent of those choices, start following God, and they're blessed. See, some of you think it's just God choosing. You know, oh, I'll bless Brother Nate because I like him. But Brother David, forget it. You know, I'll just choose a couple people to be happy. No. You want to see someone really enjoying life? I mean, things, you're around them and they just exude happiness. I'm going to tell you what's happening. Inside, they love the word of God. They love it. And they follow it. And the Bible says, the psalmist says, you know, I've noticed, blessed is the man who is undefiled. He is entirely, completely bought in to this thing called the way. What's the way? Well, for our terminology, it's Christianity. They bought into Christianity completely. And welcome to America. Can I tell you one of the plights on the Christian church today? We haven't fully bought into the way. You say, what do you mean? We bought into religion in the aspect of we'll follow it as it meets what we think we want. But rather than taking this book out of the house of God and taking it home saying, this is our way, we take bits and pieces. And because of that, I'm watching misery. I'm watching misery. You can apply this in a lot of areas. We do a lot of family counseling, as you know, and I can tell you the same thing. If you're going to have a family that makes it, can I tell you one of the key ingredients is? They're 100% committed. We teach all the time. We don't believe in divorce. We don't believe you should separate, all that kind of fun stuff. Don't have time to get into all that. You know, if you want to talk about that, we can. Just as a blanket statement, the Bible says, whatsoever God has brought together, let no man pull asunder, right? Okay. I tell couples all the time in premarital counseling, do not even bring up the word divorce. Don't do it. Why? Because if it's there, you'll use it one day. And let me tell you, when that's there, when you have this philosophy that, well, if it doesn't work, we'll check out, okay, you're not completely bought in. You're not completely bought in. Well, preacher, if I completely buy in, I don't have a way out, won't I be miserable? No, not if you have a brain. What do you mean? Really, you would stay miserable rather than fixing it? We'll be married 26 years in June. I am a happy person. I don't like misery. So when God said, you can't divorce her, my only other option is killing her. The vow is still death to us part. I mean, it's there. That's not a real good option either. Pretty sure I'd lose that one. But anyway, so I can't kill her and I can't divorce her. So the only other option then is, I guess, to live miserably. Because men and women are so different and they're just so hard to get along. And by the way, it is the most complex relationship on the face of the earth. Now, I stopped one day as a young man and said, why live miserably? Why not pick up the book? And since we're totally committed to each other, find out how to solve our issues, solve our problems, and find out how to be happy. You see what I'm saying? Well, you don't understand, folks. The philosophy is, when there's no way out, is do everything you can to make it work. And it does. I didn't say it's not hard. I'm just saying it does. But I tell you, as long as there's a way out, trust me, everything flows to the weakest point. And if you give an option out, you will take it in the tough times one day. Now, apply that to Christianity. Now that you can see. Come on, that was an illustration everybody can understand. Okay, we've all been there. Now apply it to Christianity. If you're not going to buy in 100% to this book, to the house of God, to Christianity, and you're just going to see how it works and try it and everything, trust me, one day you'll check out. You'll check out when it doesn't fit your lifestyle. But blessed, oh, happy is the man who's what? Undefiled, totally committed. No, none of this partial stuff. They buy in with everything they've got, saying, God is my Savior, God is my way, that is my life. The Word of God. Secondly, he goes on, he says, blessed is the man that's undefiled, committed, complete, entire, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Oh, I love that. Keep his testimony. In other words, again, happy is the man, not just that says, yes, I'm going to walk in the way, but now are you ready? He actually does it. I mean, first step is to say, I'm going to do it. I can't tell you how many Christians say, I believe the book, preacher. I cannot tell you. I can't tell you how many churches say, we preach the book. We believe the book, we preach the book. But it's one thing to believe it, which that's where you ought to start. It's one thing to say, that's the way I choose, which is good. But after you choose it, can I help you? Do it. The word keep means obeys. In other words, the psalmist says, not only did I learn your ways, are you ready? I kept your ways. Oh, this is so easy. It's so good. Okay, preachers, what you're saying is, some of us are miserable because we're not fully committed to the Word of God. Bingo. We're not fully committed to Christianity. Bingo. Okay, well, what if I am fully committed, but I'm still miserable? Well, could it be that part of it, we're committed in philosophy, but we're not committed in practice? There is a difference. You should start with my philosophy as I'm fully committed. But secondly, are you ready? Does your life match up with the Word of God? He said, I've noticed, the psalmist says, not only are people happy who are verbally fully committed, but they keep your testimonies. In other words, you can actually pick up the Word of God, look at their life and go, hey, they're doing that. Hey, they live that way. They make tough decisions. They make choices according to the saith the Word of God. Hey, that's pretty cool. They lead their families according to the Word of God. They look like a Christian, act like a Christian, smell like a Christian. That is so weird. And when they do that, are you ready? Oh, this is so good. Happy. Happy. I'm going to tell you right now, the happiest people I know are serious believers. Not perfect believers. We don't allow them at Central Baptist Church. They so mess up the curve, it's not even funny. No, we don't have perfect people there. We're not even talking about that. I'm talking about people who are serious enough with themselves to say, I'm buying totally into Christianity. I mean, everything I've got in my body, that's what I'm doing. And I'm not just going to say that. I'm going to keep his testimonies, even when I don't like it. Wow. You say, what happens then? Are you ready? Happy. Here comes the joy. You sure? Look at the next part of the verse. Who seek him with the what? Whole heart. Look at all these analogies coming down here. Now, that's pretty familiar to us as believers because we know in the book of Matthew, the Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might, or all your mind. Very clear in the Word of God. Do you see the parallel? Complete entirely, and then a complete heart. So my philosophy is completely bought into Christianity. My heart is completely bought into Christianity. My life, here we go, completely bought into Christianity. And how do I learn about this Christianity? I'm so glad you asked. The book in your hand is called the Word of God. The Word of God. Herein brings us our problems. Take a look at Psalms 119. That's not real news to a lot of people. But look at this. It says, they also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts. Look at this. Diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Did you catch that? Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Can we just be honest for a second here? You can decide in your heart, I really want to be committed to God. You can then say, I'm going to take this book and I'm going to do everything I can to follow it. And you should. But even here, the psalmist recognizes there's a battle that takes place inside of us. Do you remember in Romans chapter 7, the famous analogy there of the battle of the flesh and the spirit that Paul talked about? And Romans, well, turn there with me real quick. Some of you may not have seen that in a while. Romans chapter 7. Great chapter. And we'll pick up, let's pick up verse 14. He begins in about verse 7, but we'll pick it up part way down. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If I then do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. About right now, I'm thinking, Paul is messed up. You talk about chaos in the mind here. I'm like, what are you writing? He goes on. Verse 17. Now, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I like that. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, understand, this is the Apostle Paul writing. Okay? For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. Thank you, Paul and David, for opening up our eyes. What are you saying? If you're going to be joyful, happy, blessed, I do believe there's got to be a full commitment to the ways of God. I do. I believe there's got to be a full commitment to the Word of God. But even when you make that, understand, that's why he said, you must diligently keep them. Why? There is a battle that takes place in all of us. We have that sin thing that takes place. And with our head, we say, I'd like to serve God. And I've talked to people and I believe them. Dennis may say, I love God. I want to serve God. But he's doing something opposite. And we think, well, he's lying. No, maybe not. What's the problem? He's a sinner. I'm not even going to ask his wife. Yeah, I don't even have to ask her. She's going to say, oh, yeah. If I, why? We are. You know, there's this constant struggle. Now, listen. There's this constant battle that takes place in all of us. And even though we're saved and we have the Spirit of God, we have this old habits that were formed because of sin. And we are prone. Are you ready? We are prone to do more bad than we are good. The reality is the only reason you and I do good is because of the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, we're pretty wicked. Let's just be honest. That's why believers sometimes are on this roller coaster ride. And even though with their head and with their heart, you know, they're like, I want to serve God. But sometimes the actions don't match up. Even the great Apostle Paul saying that. Why? There is this battle. What do I do with this battle? I like it. Are you ready? That's why I think he wrote Psalms 119. The only cure to this battle is somebody that constantly puts themselves in the Word of God. Constantly puts themselves in the Word of God. Do you not understand why preachers stand up all the time and say, read your Bible. Read the book. Get in the book. Read, study, meditate, read the book. It's like a broken record. Can I tell you why we say that? We understand what you're going through. Oh, wait. I want you to stop and think about that for a minute. I know you think ministers don't get it. I know you think we don't understand your battles because we never go through them. We're just holy. We have this aura around us that protects us from any evil. We never struggle with anything you struggle with because we are holy men of God. I would like you to believe that, but it's a lie. We are human like you. We struggle just like you do. Well, then why are you happy? Well, we've just found a key to life. What's that? Get in the book. Okay, now let me help you. It's not enough to own a book. It's not enough to have it by your nightstand. It's not enough to watch TV and have your hand on it. Sleeping with it at night is good, but not real good. Probably a kink in your neck. It's not enough to have something memorized 10 years ago. What are you saying? He said, I keep thy testimonies. Well, how do you do that? I diligently stay in the book. Why? Because even the psalmist recognized, I am prone to wander. Remember the song? Not going to sing it for you. I want you to stay for a few more minutes. You and I are all prone to wander, no matter how much you love God. Anyone that reads the Psalms understands that. Anyone that's honest in life understands. If you don't constantly stay in this book, there's a wandering that begins to take place. And when you start to wander, are you ready? One of the first things you lose. No, seriously, I hate to give away these secrets. Okay, pastor secret number 22. Are you sure it's 22? No, I made that up, but it sounded really good. You don't hide things as well as you think you do. When you're around Christians long enough, I know you think we know what you're doing in your life. I hate to give this secret away too. We don't. That's been a key secret we've kept for years. We make you think we know exactly what's happening in your life. It works really good. We don't. I don't have special TV cameras set up at your house. I can't access you miraculously through your computer to see what's happening in your home. No. There's not a picture of your pastor in the corner of your TV going, I'm watching you. Doesn't happen. Your wife doesn't give me notes as much as you think she does. People come up and go, have you been in our home this week, preacher? Wow, that's exactly what we went through. Can I just help you with something? There are obvious things in the Word of God that give us away. Okay? One of them is when you begin to lose your joy, okay? I mean, you're coming, but your spirit begins to change. Every time I know one of the things happening, you're not in the Word of God. It's that simple. That person's not in the Word of God. Had a guy come in this last week, and he was struggling. It may have been a couple weeks. He's struggling in his family and situation. And so I sat and I talked to him. We began to discuss situations. And as we began to discuss, I looked at him. And I didn't ask him if he loved God because he already claimed salvation, already claimed he loved God. He also claimed that he came to Central Baptist Church. If I told you his name, all of you would scratch your head and go, who's that? Okay, why? He's probably come once or twice a year for the last 2 or 3 years. And so he came in, and I'm not going to give his name, situation, you don't know who it is, but having some marital problems. And as we started talking about it, immediately, it's not rocket science. I looked at him, and I called him by name, and I said, well, let me help you. When's the last time you've been in the house of God? I mean, the whole key to relationships and family and everything is God. And so if you don't even come to the house of God, I can tell you, you're not following the principles. He goes, yeah, you're right. And I go, let me take it a step further. You're not reading your Bible. He kind of looked at me and goes, right. Well, this is not rocket science. If you don't even take the time to come to the house of God for a couple hours a week, you're not at home picking up the book. It doesn't happen, folks. Someone may do it for a month or so, but it doesn't happen. And all of a sudden, life begins to become miserable and pain and sorrow begins to seep in. And as we talk to you and see you, we don't have to say anything. We know what's happening. You're getting away from the power source of joy, the book. And as long as you do that, then guess what? You won't be blessed. But the psalmist, in saying, why do I need the book? He starts out with one of the greatest reasons. You want to be full of joy? Let me help you. Get in the book. Blessed is a man whose heart is completely dedicated to the book, who completely walked in the way, who diligently fights against the forces that keep us out of this book. And then he finishes up with this. Take a look at it. Verse 7, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. There's a longing and a pleading from the psalmist here saying, I will praise you. I will learn it. Why? Because I don't want you to forsake me. Let me help you. Remember the illustration at the beginning that the greatest source of happiness over a 72-year period of everybody studied, all the men studied, was one thing: relationships. And I told you, I believe that partially, but I honestly believe number one is the Word of God. Now, I'm going to kind of turn on that just a little bit. Are you ready? There is a relationship that comes from being in the Word of God that does match that MO. What's it called? A relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, even if you don't have a lot of friends, even if you're not real outgoing, you can be a very joyful person by having a relationship with Almighty God. But can I tell you this? There's no way to get it unless you get in His book. No way. When Brenda and I were dating, we used to send each other love letters. She sent me one every day. I sent her one every day, and then so that's kind of what happened. And but I got to admit, I got excited about getting her letters in the mail. I was out in California. She was in, I guess might have been here. We were in Springfield still at that time. So she was in Springfield, Missouri. So she'd write me, and she wrote every day. And so like I said, usually I'd run to the mailbox and grab it. And then some days it wouldn't come, but there'd be two the next day. And so I kind of got used to the pattern. And those were great days. You say, why? I looked forward to getting a letter from the person I love. Each day I got a letter, joy began to just, I mean, you could tell. When the letter came, I'd grab it and go hide. No one was reading the letter. And I would hide the letters. Oh, it's not that there was anything bad in them or anything. It's just, those are my letters, And I had younger brothers and sisters. Didn't want them messing them up, okay? So I took the letters, put them in a little shoebox, hid them, and got excited. I'd pull them out and reread them sometimes. Wouldn't let anybody see because they'd need to harass you as a guy. Yeah, I don't care if I get a letter today. No big deal. Oh, it was a big deal. You say, why, man? And so I got happy. I mean, if I was having a bad day and the letter came, things change. I mean, you'd be working all day, come home at 4 or 5, and Dad had me painting and doing odd jobs, and you're like, you're tired, you're wore out. A letter came, and there's energy in my soul. Man, I go the rest of the night, I got a letter, man. This is great. I got a letter. The weird thing that happened is I read her letters. Now, she wasn't there, but as I read her letters, I began falling more in love with her. Matter of fact, after about 1 month of letters, I decided, I'm proposing. That's exactly right. Took my sister and went down to the diamond store in the mall. And we began to look around and found a beautiful diamond and picked that out. Decided I was going to get that. She didn't know. She just kept sending letters. But every day she kept sending letters, it just made me more excited to say, will you marry me? Relationship started to grow. Now, we're not even side by side. I mean, we're not even really talking much except through letters. But even through the letters, I felt like I was knowing her more and more and getting closer and closer. Those letters were important. It was as if, are you ready? She was there. And whenever I was missing her, because she wasn't there, she was in Springfield, Missouri, I could always open up the shoebox and pull out one of the old letters, the good ones that said, I was a hunk. Those were my favorite. Yeah, I was a babe for sure. But anyways, you pick out those letters and reread them and reread them and go, this is the smartest girl on the face of the earth. You tuck it back away. I was always there. Now, she wasn't there physically, but it seemed like she was, because what? I had the letters. I thought about that and said, what wisdom from God. He wrote these letters and put them together, and there's 66 of them to explain the mind, the heart, the will of Almighty God, the way He thinks about us. You ever get down and say, what does God think about thee? You go to Psalms 139. My thoughts towards you are good continually. I like that chapter. When I'm down on myself and thinking God hates me, I go to Psalms 139 and realize He actually loves me. I got a letter I can pick up whenever I want when things are falling apart. And suddenly I'm ushered into the presence of God. And suddenly I can be full of joy if no other relationship is working because I have Him. And I stopped and thought about that and said, thank you, God, for the book. You want to know why you need the book? You want to know? This book is a source of your happiness, your joy. To abandon it is to begin to abandon the very thing that everyone is in pursuit of, real happiness or real joy. So can I challenge you once again, as true believers, pick it up, read it, learn it completely with all of your heart, make it a part of your life, And then one. We've only hit point one out of 176 verses. Are you ready? One thing that you get is joy unspeakable and full of glory anytime you want it. Just read the book. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. Today, we'd like to just thank you for the book. Lord, everyone wants happiness. Everybody wants joy. Everybody wants their life to turn out good. Lord, often we're pursuing the wrong thing. We're putting our time into jobs, which is not bad to work. Homes, which is not bad to have a home. Other relationships. Once again, none of these things are bad. But Lord, the real pursuit of joy comes from you. And Lord, walking in your way. And the way we learn to walk in your way simply is walking in your word. Lord, today, may we have a renewed commitment to your word. For those who are only partially in the word. Oh, we love it. We like it. We believe it. But Lord, we don't spend enough time in it. May today be a renewed commitment to getting back to the book. This love letter that you sent that is designed to bring us joy unspeakable and full of glory. An abundant life, as John 10:10 says, through your word. It brings us truth, liberty, so many things. Thank you for reminding us of that and the psalmist writing that today, of how blessed he was to know your book. Today, it's very simple, Lord. If someone's here today that has never put their faith in you first off, Lord, they will not be able to fully understand your book without first accepting you. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know for sure that they have the freedom of eternal life, may they come today and talk to Brother Scott or Miss Jennifer and find out about that first. Then, Lord, for those who are saved, I pray that today we can have a renewed sense of joy this Memorial Day. Something to rejoice about. Your book. Your way. Help us to recommit fully to that way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord spoke to you today. As we mentioned, we've not talked a lot about salvation, but if you're here today, I can tell you, you won't understand this book until you get the Spirit of God. And it is your source of joy, but you got to have the Spirit first. And if you're unsure about that, come and talk to Brother Scott, Miss Jennifer. But as believers, many of us need to come today and say, Lord, I do love your book. I do love you, but I'm not as committed as I need to be. And Lord, you've touched my heart in that way, and I want to be a little bit more committed to your book, so I can be more committed to your way, so I can be satisfied, find joy. Whatever the need is. You come as we sing page 39, Take My Life and Let It Be. So come or sing page 39.
Take my life.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.